And during the week, we have a few meetings. Oh, between the services, we will have membership care team meetings, and tomorrow, step parish and ladies' lunch will be this coming Thursday. So please find that. Yes, and in the fellowship hall, you can find, oh yeah, Easter is coming, and we will have breakfast, I mean potluck together. If you want to sign up for making some casserole, there will be recipe over there and sign up sheet over there, so you can find that and name, write your name over, I mean, on the sheet. And loose coin this month will go to Midwest Mission Distribution Center. Oh, yes. Hi, Rory. Mary will be our liturgist. So let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Please stand and join me in our opening prayer. Faithful God, our parched spirits thirst for you. Gathered here in your sanctuary, may we witness again your power and glory. Feed our hungry souls with the food that truly satisfies. Quench our dry mouths and fill them with your praise. Be known to us as we seek you with our whole being. Amen. Our opening hymn is Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 381, verses 1 and 2.
In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Wow, I think we need to sing one more hymn to have more people. Love it, love it, love it. During the week, we have a few people who have birthday. Tomorrow will be Remy and Adriana, Greg and Levi and Megan and Amber. Or you can send a card or make a phone call to say happy birthday. Many of you remember Joanne Lyon. Her son Charles passed away during the week. And his celebration of life will be in our church this coming Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, 4 to 5:30 will be visitation, and celebration service will follow. So please remember Lyon's family, especially Charles has children, so please remember them in your prayers. Okay. And I want to invite you to share our joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayer request? Yes, yes.
This week I found out that very nice couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very upsetting that he has passed. So it's Annika and Ed.
Annika. Okay. Please, thank you for sharing. Please remember Annika and their family in your prayers. Yes.
Rory has a joy that Steve and Jeff and Andy stepped in and took over the venue.
Yes. I had ham dinner. Finally, after being here with you for 4 years, finally I got ham dinners, and it was really good. You know, I think all the men, they need some Advil. It was really good, and we had many kings. King of ham, king of beans, king of potatoes, king of dishwashing person, and king of greeting, so many. So it was really nice, and thank you so much for preparing for the dinner and all the people who joined us. Thank you. Rory? Rick. Okay. Do you know when?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes. Please remember Rick in your prayers, especially Tuesday. Thank you. Yes.
Anyone wants any leftovers from the ham dinner, if you come to the kitchen after service,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, it's really good. Thank you. Any other joys and concerns? Okay. Please continue to help the people whom we have been praying for. Gloria Grant, Warren Hoek. Warren is getting better and better. He still needs to gain some strength, but he said he plans to come second service, so I'm really excited. That means he's gaining more strength. So please have him, continue to have him in your prayers. And also Marion Cook, David Six, and Reverend Norman Parson. Let's turn to God and pray. Lord, this morning we just sang to you, Lord, praise you, say you listen to our prayers. God, thank you for being our Lord. Thank you for inviting us to come close to you as we are, God. This morning we praise you and worship you. And we share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, because we believe in you, Lord. You listen to our cries. You know, each one of those names we just named, spoken and unspoken, God, remember Gloria, Warren, Marion, Dave, and Noam, touch their body and touch their soul. We believe in your healing hand, Lord. And help us to see your hand giving them more strength, recovery. And we remember Rick in our prayers, Lord. Hold his hand tight as he will have a surgery. Give all the wisdom and knowledge to his medical team. And throughout the surgery and recovery, God, you are. We believe you are holding his hand. And we also remember the people who lost their beloved one. God, remember each one of them. Remember their family and their community. Bring them comfort and peace and give them hope for the reunion in you. God, you have been calling us to be your people on this journey. For good and bad, help us be together, praying for one another and caring for one another in your love. God, help us know who we are and whose we are, and help us to see the people around us who need your love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy, and who needs our hands and voices. God, lead us, guide us. In our everyday, daily life, be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated. And let's sing together Amazing Grace, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Scripture reading this morning has two parts. The first part is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and the second part is from John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and 5 through 7. So this part's from Exodus. He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. And the next part is from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Edward Hall, an American anthropologist, he spent a lot of time studying about human relationship. And he described our interpersonal distance, that as individuals, we create some kind of distance and room for others in our relationship with others. And he found four distinct zones. So intimate space, and personal space, and social space, and public space. Why don't you look around? In this room, some of you stay very close. Oh yeah, Andy just said, oh yeah. The people, maybe family, they sit together, close people, they sit together and talk. When they talk, okay, Mary, I want to be close to you, with you. Oh, yes. Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Somehow, whether we recognize it or not, we make a zone. Close and far. Each space describes some kind of patterns and impact of approximate behaviors in our relationship, in our communication. And we do some functions in each space. For example, I'm a husband to my wife for 17 years, and to my parents for a little bit more than 17 years, I have been a son, and I should behave as a husband and a son. And I'm the pastor of this beautiful church, so I should behave really well. And I have my duties and responsibilities that I'm playing as your pastor. And I've told you a couple of times, I don't picture myself as the control tower or lighthouse of this church. My role, I might be the captain or first grade sailor, because Jesus is the only one control tower and the captain. That's my role. I have certain positions in our district and conference that I'm entrusted and elected, so I have to function. But to many of my friends, I'm just Paul. Not my skill, not my position, not my possession. Just Paul. I should behave well because they know I'm a pastor, but otherwise, I'm just a Paul, a friend who loves to listen to my friend, celebrate joys and concerns with them. And how about you? We all have many different roles, many different hats, in many relationships and positions. How many hats do you have in your daily life? Since we can't live alone, we have many heads, and we have many people around us. And people expect you to take a certain roles at work and in your relationship with your family, friends, neighbors, and community. If you introduce yourself stating, I am so-and-so, how can you describe yourself? Just before the service, Nancy prayed for me and our liturgist, and she said, Lord, help us breathe with all the roles, duties, and responsibility. Why don't you take a moment of breathing in God? Yes, we have so many duties and responsibility, but this moment, as we worship God, it is a moment we get reminded of who we are and whose we are. But sometimes we need to explain and introduce ourselves saying, I am so-and-so. And even Jesus has to explain who he is, saying, I am. During this Lenten season, we are talking about John's Gospel, and today and next week, we will focus on Jesus saying, I am, I am. As I mentioned last week, John intends to write this Gospel not to tell us exactly what happened in exact time order. His intention was to give us what it means to believe in Jesus, who he is, so that in chapter 20, he says, so that you may believe in him. You may understand who he is for you. There is a deeper meaning than what we read at the surface level. And I really want to encourage you to read it intentionally and try to listen to what God is nudging you and speaking to you. So there are seven of these statements in which Jesus says, I am, I am. And he draws all of those seven, the image of I am, from the Old Testament. And that explains a lot when we read Jesus saying, I am. And Jesus claims that this is why he has come to us and who he is. And we know in the Old Testament, Moses' calling story of I am. Years ago, I attended Spiritual Formation Academy in Tucson, Arizona. It took place at the entrance, a little bit inside of the desert. Staying in the desert, I could feel what Moses might have felt. Let me just remind you of Moses. Moses, he was in the wilderness of Sinai. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep, and one day he saw the burning bush, and it was not consumed by the flame. So he went to the burning bush, and all of a sudden, he heard a voice coming out of the bush. And the voice said, next slide, Moses, take off your shoes. You are standing on the holy ground. The Bible doesn't say that, but I'm sure he was surprised, even freaked out, as he heard the voice. So he kicked off his sandals in a second, and the voice continued, I have heard the suffering of my people, Israel. And I'm going to save them. I'm going to set them free. So now you go and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. Remember, at this time, Israelite, they were slaves in Egypt for about 400 years. And of course, Moses, he protested with all the reasons why he was not the one. He was not right person for the job. It was like your boss gives you a job description. Hey, my friend, here is your job description. Save the world. Solve all the problems. Poverty, climate change, Ukraine war, gun violence, domestic violence, economic injustice. Your job is solve them all. If that is your job description, what would you like to say? So, of course, Moses replied, "Excuse me, God. Nope, that's too much. And they are not going to listen to me. They are not going to believe me. What if they ask me, who is the God you're talking about? What's the name? Then what should I say?" Then God says to Moses, "I am that I am. I am that I am." And God continued to speak to Moses, "I am has sent you to go." Let me go back to my desert experience. For 5 days of the Spiritual Formation Academy, I have spent all day praying, meditating, and refreshing and refocusing my call to ministry. It was such a beautiful and meaningful moment. And it was located in the desert, and there were so many cactus and everywhere. Next slide. And I could smell so much dust. And my first response was, wow. It was beautiful. So every day started with morning prayer at 7:30 a.m. and it ended with closing prayer at 9. And I got up at 5:30 a.m. and walked in the desert alone. And I was informed on my first day there were some coyotes, wild hogs, rattlesnakes, and scorpions. I thought coyotes and wild hogs were kind of okay because they would run away when I see them, but not rattlesnakes or scorpions. So during my walking, when I walked, I kept looking at the ground. I should have seen all the beauties of the world, the nature, but I kept looking at the ground just in case I have rattlesnake or scorpion. Then I walked a little bit further and further into the desert. Thank God. I didn't see any coyotes or scorpion or rattlesnake. Then on the last day, I thought, can I live here? I have heard so many people move into Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona after their retirement. Maybe downtown will be okay, but not in that desert. It looked beautiful, but dry and dusty. From the second day, I could feel my lung burning and suffering from the dust. And I had a little bit of fever because of the dust, an allergy attacked. Can I live here? Can I live here in this desert like Moses? My answer was, no, not for me. Not for me. I want to go home. Moses spent 40 years in the middle of the desert as one of the Midianites. his life was full of ups and downs, up and down, up and down, up and down. He was born into slavery, but became a royal family member. But he has to flee to Midian. But in his time, people in Midian, they were considered lower than a slave in Egypt. They were barbarian. For 40 years, Moses lived in a dusty desert with coyotes, hyena, rattlesnake, scorpion, and many other wild animals. His pride as a royal family member is gone. But now, he is a just shepherd, tending his father-in-law's sheep. He might have felt he was nothing. It seems there is nobody who takes care of him. Nobody can understand what he feels. He might have thought he was abandoned. But that moment, God came to him and spoke to him through the voice from the burning bush. I chose you. Have you felt the same as Moses, questioning, what am I doing? Okay, I have a lot of duties and responsibility and many roles that I'm taking now, but who am I and what am I doing and what's the purpose of my life? What can I find? I mean, where can I find the meaning of my life? How can my heart beat fast with excitement? How can I find joy? With all the questions, we need to take a pause and listen to God nudging and speaking and sometimes whispering to us and sometimes challenging us. When Moses asked God, "Who are you, God? What is your name?" God says, "I am that I am." It's a strange name. I am that I am. It means I am existence itself. I am being itself. I am the source of life. God says to Moses, "Your life comes from me. Every day we breathe our days. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. Every day we see sun rises. We have one more day. And God is speaking to us. I am the life, existence itself." And God continued, "So now go. Do what I command you to do." Let me just remind you that John's Gospel mainly focuses on who Jesus is and what he means to us. He's trying to find a match from the Old Testament to describe who Jesus is. In John's Gospel, we find at least seven of Jesus saying, "I am. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life." And what John wants to speak to us is that Jesus knows you by your name. And Jesus has sent you to be his disciples, saying, "Don't worry. I know you, and I will be with you." Sometimes we find ourselves standing in the desert. We have a theme here, desert. Or a dark place. Somewhere we don't know what to do, just like Moses. Sometimes we find ourselves feeling lonely, not knowing What's the meaning of my life? But Jesus, we hear Jesus speaking to us. I am that I am. I am existence itself. I am the source of your life, and I know you. I love you, and I will be with you. That doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to us. That doesn't mean we are not going to encounter any challenge. It means nothing can change who we are as the beloved child of God. And nothing is going to change God's love, grace, and mercy. And nothing will change our mission of love. Amen. We have the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. And the cup, the blood of Jesus Christ. God knows each one of us, what we have done, what we are doing, what we are thinking in our daily lives. Even the things you don't want to mention and talk to other people. But God says, I know that. What you have done in the past is not going to define who you are. And God says, beloved, let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Bless each one of us. And bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. God, make these elements the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that as we take them, make us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. yesterday. Last night, my wife said, Paul, next year, when you have ham dinner, you should post the picture of the meal. Yeah, because it was fantastic, nice ham, gravy, potato, and some others, beans, and so many stuff. It's a full meal. You're not going to find this meal, this quality, at a restaurant. Okay. It was very nice. We love potluck. And it's very biblical. Jesus used the image of festival and the table and the meal community to illustrate the kingdom of God so many times. Because everybody is invited. What's the kingdom of God? Jesus. And what it means to us. This year, during the Lenten season, we have John, and what I'm trying to do with the sermon series is narrow down belief, faith. All we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. In our daily lives, Jesus has you. We think we have Jesus in our faith. No? Yes? Part of it's right, but Jesus has you in his love. And we give thanks for his love. And we are grateful. With all the gratitude for God has done in our lives, we give thanks to God and present ourselves, our talents, gift, and time to God.
Please join me in the prayer dedication. As we enjoy the rich feast God has provided, we know that there are those who want for food and drink in body and soul. Multiply the offerings we share today, that they may bless those in need. May the spiritual nourishment we receive today strengthen us for continued service in your name. Amen. Our closing hymn today is I'll Fly Away, number 2282, verse 1.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Remain standing and receive the benediction. God, we give you thanks for claiming us as your beloved, your disciples. We give you thanks for your calling to manifest your love in our daily lives. We give you thanks for the people you have gathered around us. Whenever we see people at work, in our relationship, in our neighborhood, God, help us to see your calling and the beauty. Lord, lead us, guide us, and give us courage. So now go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, and the love of God, the Creator, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen. More like you, Jesus, more like you. Fill my heart with your desire, make me more like you. More like you, Jesus, more like you. Touch my lips and make me more like you. Amen.